and Vermilion counties. Here's what the National Weather Service is saying at this time. This afternoon and tonight, don't expect any hazardous weather. But tomorrow through Friday, snow will develop tomorrow morning, then continue through tomorrow night. Total accumulations of 3 to 5 inches are expected along and north of I-74, with 1 to 3 inches further south across the rest of the area. Brisk northwesterly winds gusting over 30 miles per hour will create considerable blowing and drifting snow tomorrow and tomorrow night. In addition, wind chill readings will dip into the single digits late tomorrow night and into Friday morning. So let's take a look now at the forecast for East Central Illinois this afternoon. Rain, look for a high in the upper 40s. The wind from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy, the low 28, with the wind out of the northwest from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, snow and blowing snow. We could see an accumulation up to 2 inches. It will be colder. Expect a high of 28 with the temperature falling through the 20s tomorrow afternoon. The wind will be from the west at 20 to 25 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, snow is likely. It will be cold and windy, so we'll see blowing snow. But any accumulation tomorrow night will be light. The low tomorrow night, 13. The wind out of the west at 20 to 25 miles per hour. Friday, cloudy with a high in the low 20s. The wind will be from the west at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 15. Saturday, partly sunny with a chance of snow. Look for a high in the upper 20s. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low in the upper teens. Sunday and Sunday night, partly cloudy with a high Sunday in the low 30s and the low Sunday night in the low 20s. The outlook for Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, mostly sunny and warmer with a high around 40. At 12 noon Central Time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the mid-40s to the low 50s. Most locations reporting a cloudy sky, many reporting light rain. In northern and west central Illinois, though, those locations were seeing sunshine at noon. In Rockford, it was mostly sunny and 50 degrees. At O'Hare, partly sunny and 51. Bloomington reported a mostly sunny sky and 48 degrees. In Mattoon, cloudy and 43. Light rain in Carbondale, 43 there. In South Bend, sunny and 46. Lafayette reported light rain and 44 degrees. Indianapolis and Terre Haute reported light rain and 45 degrees. At Willard Airport at the top of the hour, light rain and fog were reported, 42 degrees. The dew point, 38. The relative humidity, 85%. The wind out of the north at 8. The barometric pressure, 29.55. And falling in at 1240, 42 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. This story is about the latest crackdown in China. It's on excessive entertainment. Beijing's propaganda czars have taken aim at dating and game shows. They've cut almost 70% of those entertainment shows from primetime television. NPR's Louisa Lim reports from Beijing that this is part of a larger ideological campaign.
Tens of millions of people tune in every week to the Chinese dating show Take Me Out. It's pure entertainment. Girls in skimpy dresses hoping for a date, sweaty, geeky guys stammering questions, and two effete hosts with matching bouffant hairstyles. But as of last week, Take Me Out was bumped from prime time. Instead, its millions of fans got Ordinary Hero, uplifting tales of ordinary people doing heroic things, like a firefighter saving a 10-year-old kid stuck in an elevator. This is a move to promote traditional virtues and socialist core values. The fans, including Michael Zhong, a dating show aficionado, are not happy.
This rule is, most people don't like it. We definitely show our disagreement on it. I believe the shows should be driven by the market.
This is, in effect, a government U-turn, according to Hu Xingdo, a political analyst at Beijing Institute of Technology.
The government led this move towards consumerism and entertainment mania. They urged people not to get involved with politics, suggesting politics is too dangerous. Go and earn money and have fun. But now in China, it's gone too far. We've amused ourselves to death and morality has almost collapsed.
That moral collapse has showed itself in rampant money worship, transfixing television audiences. This dating show contestant told a potential suitor that a boyfriend would have to earn $30,000 a month to even hold her hand. But limitations on TV content are nothing new. Interviewed even before the latest clampdown, author Mu Rong Xuecun described the situation as almost farcical.
At one time, all you could see on TV were court dramas from the Qing dynasty, but then those were restricted. It's the same with almost every genre. Then family dramas were banned if they included love triangles or affairs. Spy dramas were restricted. Now you can't shoot anything with ghosts in it, although you can have monsters. I hosted a TV show, and we weren't even allowed to use the words time travel.
Culture has been top of the political agenda for months. President Hu Jintao recently wrote of international hostile forces strengthening their efforts to westernize and divide China, using ideology and culture. But analyst Hu Xingdo doesn't believe the official line.
I don't think this has much to do with division and westernization. The young people have already been westernized. The battlefield of public opinion that they're really fighting over is how to control the intellectuals. But mostly the intellectuals aren't buying it.
For the first time in two decades, a Hong Kong TV drama, When Heaven Burns, has been forbidden on the mainland. The cultural purge could yet go further still. A new draft law governing the film industry would ban movies featuring religious fanaticism, gambling, drug abuse, and even horror. Hao Tian, a professor at Beijing Film Academy, believes that in yielding to their tendency to control, China's leaders are highlighting their own insecurities.
We feel tighter and tighter controls on politics, on Twitter, on entertainment, and on TV news. Our political system is wary of the outside world, even hostile to it. Sometimes we say it has a persecution complex. It always feels people are infiltrating us, attacking us, westernizing us. It's a very fearful psychological state.
The fear is such that this year, even Supergirl, a singing contest, is banned. That stormed the ratings 6 years ago. 8 million votes were cast in the final alone, making it arguably the most open election in China. The danger is that by tightening their grip on entertainment, China's leaders are neutering their own artists and alienating many millions of non-political youth who only want to relax and be entertained. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Beijing.
It's 12:45. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for joining us today. Well, perhaps you were one of the proud owners of a Dodge Dart. Between 1960 and 1976, the Dodge Dart was one of the best-selling cars in the U.S. With its affordable price and rugged feel, more than 3.5 million darts were sold, though the car was never known for being especially stylish or pretty. Now Chrysler is revising the name as the company continues its own revitalization. NPR's Sonari Glinton reports from Detroit.
I'm standing on the floor of the Detroit Auto Show. One of the cool things about auto shows is when they unveil a car. Let's take a listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome President and CEO Dodge Brand, Reed Bigland.
Every CEO gets their own theme music. Reed Bigland looks like a car exec, built like a quarterback, but because he's Canadian, he played hockey in school. First, there's a preamble. They usually talk about history. Car execs love history. Then they talk about turbochargers and torque and horsepower.
First, more horsepower and greater fuel economy. Look, the days of sacrificing horsepower for fuel economy and vice versa are long gone. Today, you have to have both, and we do.
Now we're getting to the nitty-gritty. Chrysler sells a lot of big SUVs and big sedans, and it hasn't been competitive in the small car market. Because of the bailout, Chrysler agreed to sell a fuel-efficient small car that's made in America. Now, this is the part executives really love, the introduction.
I introduce to you the 2013 groundbreaking Dodge Dart.
Now that's when they drive the car from behind a screen right up to the audience. Always scares me. I never sit in front. Once the car is revealed, all the reporters rush the stage to ask the car execs questions, like why choose the name Dodge Dart? Reed Bigland says they looked at a lot of things.
Looked at the car, looked at the styling, looked at the aggressive arrow, looked at the notion of a dart being very arrow, and the name just fit. And it's living large right now in drag strips throughout North America.
Plus, Bigland says most people under 35 don't even remember the Dodge Dart, and those over 35 remember it fondly.
This is definitely not your father's Dodge Dart.
Aaron Bragman is over 35, and he's a senior analyst with IHS Automotive.
The old Dodge Dart is really one of the vehicles you think of when you think of a 60s American car. It was big, rear-wheel drive. It had room inside for six. It had bench seats. It had very upright styling. It is nothing like the car we see in front of us.
The new Dart is built on the same platform as one of Fiat's Alfa Romeos, though they stretched the body a bit to fit us larger Americans. While the old Dart sat six, this one is a compact car that would fit five uncomfortably. Bragman says the new Dart is a sign of a real change in the culture of the U.S. car industry.
They were happy to cede the passenger car market, mid-sized cars, compact cars, to Japanese competitors, and Japanese brands basically took over the American market. They sold far more than the Americans do. Well, apparently the Americans are no longer content with that, and they're introducing passenger cars of their own that are easily as good, if not better, than many other competitors.
Bragman and other analysts say if the Americans don't continue to stay competitive in the small car market, they won't be selling cars globally, or in the U.S. for that matter. Sonari Glinton, NPR News, Detroit.
Last week on Car Talk, you missed a brilliant demonstration of first-rate diagnostic skill.
We're working on this very hard. and this effort represents our combined intellect, which some have compared
then you should get it right.
Which some have have compared to that of a two-car garage
door
opener.
Don't miss the fun this week.
Join us for Car Talk
Saturday morning at 9 and Sunday morning at 11 on AM 580.
Here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 11th of January, 2012. It's the birthday of Aldo Leopold, Burlington, Iowa, 1887, author of a Sand County Almanac. As a very small boy, he was drawn to the outdoors. When he heard that Yale was offering a degree in forestry, he set his mind to go there. He went on to become one of the nation's first professional foresters. He worked